It was day two, coming up on 36 hours since they had lost Christy, and there was nothing they could do about it. Their pace was fixed by the horses and couldn't be increased. There was nothing to do except watch the wastelands up ahead and the territory they had already covered to their rear. Ryan had never felt so frustrated, so helpless. He was used to taking action, to being in charge of a situation, or at least trying to take that charge. The tension and frustration crawled in his gut, making him edgy. It had no release. There wasn't even anything he could do to take his mind off the nagging doubts. His frustration was nearly boiling over, waiting for an outlet.
Incoming, 11 o'clock.
Ryan felt the familiar rush of adrenaline. Far off on the horizon was a cloud of dust. Despite his better judgment, Ryan almost wished for Cold Hearts. It would give him something to kill. With great speed, the cloud of dust moved away from the vanishing point and became a much more corporeal figure on the landscape. The cloud billowed, and even at such a great distance, it was possible to make out the rough impression of a wag.
Is it our man?
Figure not. Our boy's trail leads more 1 o'clock, and this isn't any kind of a bike, even a big fucker like his.
He could have more than a bike, but I take your point. So someone else, then. Question is, are they looking for him, too?
Maybe. Not our problem if they are, though.
Exactly. They're just gonna see this wag, see the horse, and think easy meat.
Better advise them of their error, then.
The others had been listening to this exchange, and as Ryan turned to them, he could see that they were already going through the routines of checking and preparing their weapons. They were always combat ready, but it did no harm to make triple sure.
You heard that. We don't know who these people are, but they're better protected than us in that wag, and they'll see us as easy. I want them to think there's just JB and me on board. You all stay in the back out of sight. If things go sour, come out blasting.
Think you want this as much as me, Ryan?
Could be. Shit. You've got some speed. Get ready.
Ryan moved to the front of the wag, settling himself beside JB. The armorer had kept up the same pace and direction as before. Anything else would have been noted by the approaching wag. He didn't want to give them any cause for suspicion. They were bigger, and they were better protected. He didn't want them to start blasting from distance, or else the companions were really screwed. And the wag, whoever was in it, was definitely taking an interest in them. While their course had remained constant, the other wag had deviated from the line it had been taking from the horizon, so it arced around to come closer to them. It was still throwing up clouds of dust to its rear, but from the front they could now see that it was an old military-armored wag. It had a gun turret with a front-mounted machine gun, with two ports below under the windshield. Most of those old wags had originally held computer equipment so that they could drive blind. JB would guess, from the slightly erratic line, that the driver was having to rely on visual alone. A bubble-mounted gun on each side, with a full 180 rotation, two wheels on each side at the front. JB couldn't see the rear, but he was guessing caterpillar tracks. A formidable vehicle against five people with a couple of horses and a hunk of wood. It sped toward them with no sign of diminishing its speed. It was fortunate that the horses had their remarkable placidity, or even a more experienced horseman than JB would have had trouble controlling them. As it was, they showed no interest in the approaching wag, and JB was able to handle the reins with one hand while slipping his mini-Uzi from his shoulder so that it rested by his hips. Similarly, Ryan had slowly dropped the Steyr from his back until it rested casually across his lap. The two guns wouldn't be much good against the armor-plated wag, but both men figured that whoever was inside would feel just confident enough against a horse-drawn wag to want to show their faces. They'd seen enough sloppy fighters in their time to lay odds on this. The wag continued until it looked as though it was prepared to drive right through them. JB kept to his course, kept his nerve, and hoped that his judgment was sound. As the vehicle approached them and the dissipating clouds of dust started to reach them in choking waves, JB wondered momentarily if he'd picked a wrong moment to make a bad call. The braking wag threw up dense clouds of dust that temporarily blinded them. In the rear of the covered wag, Jack, Mildred, and Doc were partially protected from this, but they were still denied the clear sight they needed. The reason for the move became obvious when the dust settled. Though their eyes were red and tear-filled, both Ryan and JB could see that two men had emerged from the wag. One was standing in front of it, pointing an AK-47 directly at them. The other was half hidden by the turret of the wag, from which his upper torso projected. He was holding them in the sights of a scattergun,
He was older than the man with the AK-47, with a gray beard covering his grizzled face, a dusty stovepipe hat topping his long gray hair. The younger man had no beard, and his long black hair was tied back in a ponytail. Both men had the same long, hooked nose and protruding front teeth. They had to be kin, probably father and son. Their clothes were old and patched. Their guns looked pretty much the same to JB's practiced eye. Because of this, and because of the way they had turned the vehicle side-on, JB figured that however they had laid hands on it, they either hadn't acquired ammo for the mounted guns, or else they hadn't maintained the ordnance properly, and it no longer worked. Which was good. If they were the only two in the WAG, then it more than evened the odds.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
The older man had obviously been expecting a reply, maybe even a capitulation. Which wasn't going to happen. Ryan and JB could outwit any bastard they encountered. And so it was this time.
So maybe I was thinking that you were going to be in the least bit curious as to why we stopped you like this. Maybe you are. Maybe you're smarter than two dudes trying to cover this land with horses have any damn right to be. Maybe you're mute retards who can't speak because you got no tongues. Makes no difference to me. See, me and my boy here, we've been traveling across this here stretch of useless shit for some time, and we're running a little low on the necessities of life. To be blunt, gentlemen, we ain't got shit in the way of water or food. And when we saw your WAG in the distance, we said to ourselves, what kind of damn fool is going to be rumbling across this land at that speed? And we kind of knew what the answer might be. A damn fool who's at least smart enough to make sure that they got enough water and food to keep themselves from croaking halfway across. And that's why, gentlemen, we want you to hand over everything you've got. Now, we ain't nasty types. We ain't going to chill you. We're fair men. You hand over your blasters and your supplies and we drive off and you take your chances out here. Now, I'll admit, it ain't much of a chance, but it's better than being chilled. Of course, you don't want to do that, then we got no choice other than to blast the living shit out of you right now and just take it all anyway. See, either way, you lose your blasters and your food and water. But do it our way, and at least you get to live a little longer. Maybe a lot longer. So, how do you want to play it, gentlemen?
Ryan and JB exchanged glances. It seemed to them that these cold hearts were bluffing. No one was given a chance in these kinds of circumstances. The guns had to be empty, and they were desperate enough to try to con what they wanted. From the way that the old man spoke, it was also pretty clear that there was only those two traveling in the WAG. So perhaps Ryan and JB could just bring up their weapons and fire now, calling that bluff. There was a chance that it could backfire and they could get fired on, but there was no need for that. They had three guns in the back, just waiting to spring. This was going to be somebody's lucky day. And it wasn't going to be the two men facing them.
Okay, we'll take our chances. With the desert. And with trusting, you won't just chill us anyway.
Boy, you can take my word on that.
Ryan knew from the cold heart's sincere tone that the two men wouldn't fire on them because they had no ammo. This was going to be easy.
I guess I'll have to. We're gonna throw down our blasters on the count of three, then start to unload. Is that okay with you? You hold all the cards.
JB's eyes flicked to Ryan, showing just the slightest bit of admonition. Don't overplay it.
One, two, three!
The Steyr and the Mini Uzi hit the ground in front of their horses, puffing up dust around them. They waited until that dust had settled. This was the crucial moment. If the younger men collected their weapons before they had a chance to move, to clear the shot for the trio of weapons at their backs, then there was a chance that the young man might be able to snatch at one of the guns on the ground and return fire before he was dead. Ryan's eye locked with the old man. An almost imperceptible nod is a signal, and Ryan took this as his cue to turn toward the rear of the WAG. This was the moment when he figured that, if they really meant to kill them, the younger man would make his move. JB anticipated his friend's action. He delayed his own turn the merest fraction of a second, enough to see that the younger man had darted toward the fallen guns.
Now!
As Ryan fell, he sensed the action above his head. He felt Jack brush against him, at the same time he saw Doc's monstrous Lamar rise to his left.
It's wrong!
Oh! You shot my son!
Oh! Yeah, a damn shame.
The older man's body slumped in the turret of the WAG, as two trickles of blood spilled out from his forehead. If, by chance, there had been anyone inside, they would have been trapped by the inert corpse.
Good job, everybody. But there might be more. Keep red.
Ryan jumped down from the wag and walked toward his Steyr. As the others dismounted and joined him, he strolled over to the armored wag. The tension in the air had dissipated with the gunfire, and they now felt at ease. If anything, they felt better than they had for the past 36 hours. Now, perhaps, they may have found themselves a faster form of transport.
Hey, JB.
Yeah, Ryan?
We gotta see what shape this thing is in.
And I'm the lucky one to go in, right?
You know wags.
All right. Hey, Doc?
Yes, Mr. Barrymore?
We got us a corpse to uncork.
The old man's body had slumped in such a way as to jam him in the hatch.
All right. If you grab here...
Like this?
Yeah. And I'll grab here. Now, pull on three. One, two, three. All right. Again. Damn. How'd this guy get in and out of this thing?
From the smell of him, I do not think he did get out very often.
Yeah, he is a little sour. All the more reason to get him out of here. All right, real hard now. You ready?
I am.
Pull! That was... Oh, jeez, that smells terrible.
Indeed. The fetid stench of decay. I shudder to think what is down there.
Hey, JB, what are you waiting for?
If you were up here, you'd know. Wish me luck, Doc.
I shall think good thoughts.
Yeah.